The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clare for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clare. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clare.
And good evening. I'm Stan Clare, and this is Thursday night, and as usual, we have a guest. We're going to talk about equine, I don't know what the correct pronunciation is, but equine psychology. And no, it's not how to deal with horses. It's how to use horses in the treatment of people. And I have as my guest tonight, Dot Robertson, and she is an equine psychologist. And welcome, Dot, and tell us what this is all about, because most people, I think, are a little bit scared of horses. So everybody settle down, saddle up, get comfortable in your saddles, and let's talk to Dot.
Hi there, Stan. Thank you so much for this invitation to be able to chat about horses. And it doesn't really matter how you say it, equine or equine. But really it is about using horses in mental health and the support of humans. Yes, thank you very much for this opportunity. As a psychologist, I have found that I've worked with lots of different types of issues and problems from both children right through to adulthood. And as much as the traditional therapeutic approaches are really quite effective, we've often found that there's a population of people that are quite difficult to reach. You know, often we'll find that teens, for example, will not always be able to articulate how they are feeling or what really the issues are that they are facing. And that's also true for children. And there are some adults who struggle with things like anxiety and depression who aren't also able to articulate truly what is happening within themselves. And we find that there are some people who are very resistant to the traditional therapeutic approaches and are not interested in, you know, following that route. And this is where the gift of equine-assisted psychotherapy came in, because really it was an opportunity to reach these kind of population groups that are struggling and who need help with their emotional and behavioral difficulties, and to find better ways of coping generally.
Is this is not an extreme form in the true sense, but it is for people who really are beyond the normal traditional way of doing things. So in other words, using the horse to set off your fears and to really get engaged with something else, which might, I suppose, take your mind off what is worrying you and translate it into looking at the horse. And I mean, being interactive, I guess, it can be therapeutic. I would really imagine so. What is the approach? How do you actually do this? Well, you know, do you have your own horses? Do you take them to a stable? Is it in your backyard?
I'm part of a therapeutic center that runs with horses, and we have that as part of the therapy process. And really the reason, I wonder if I can take a moment and just say to you, the reason why we use horses is because they are very similar in some ways to us as human beings. They have what we call a prey animal. And as a prey animal, we find that they actually are highly sensitive to their environment and often very aware of where danger is. And that's part of their natural instinct and survival instinct. And
we find it a responsive? Do you evoke some sort of response from the animal, or is it, how does it work?
No, because they are so sensitive to the environment, many people, in fact, who've gone through any trauma or any difficulties are equally highly sensitive to their environment. And when they are able to watch what the horse does in their environment, it actually allows the human being just to be able to adjust and to connect with that energy and to be able to find themselves being a bit more settled and able to think things through a little bit more carefully. And that's a hugely important element for anybody who's doing therapy. So when somebody comes in, a horse's innate ability to find and notice danger or a threat is something that really human beings can connect with. And when they arrive and they meet a horse for the first time, they don't need to have any knowledge of a horse. They don't need to know anything about horsemanship skills. The whole process is about meeting the horse on the ground. There is no riding involved. And to meet the horse just as an equal. And that already starts to develop a much better relationship and a trust level that begins to help the person to ground themselves.
I can imagine in an adult that it wouldn't be so daunting, but aren't kids a little bit scared of the size of the horse? I mean, horses are not small animals. Are they approach, or do kids really readily take to this?
It's amazing watching how kids take to this, because yes, a horse is always a hugely big animal. I mean, we often joke and say that equine assisted psychotherapy is just a form of psychotherapy with a 900-pound assistant. And that's really what it's about. But the fascinating thing for children and for adults is that when you meet a horse that is bigger than you, it is and can be intimidating. But it builds a huge amount of self-confidence when that child is able to get that horse to move with him or her and get that horse to respond either by sniffing them or by allowing them to brush. So the horse, that helps them to feel so much more confident in themselves.
So they don't ride, they brush. It's more like a touchy-feely thing where they touch the horse and interact with the horse in that way.
Yes.
Rushing it and engaging the horse in that way. So I suppose at first it's a little bit tentative, but then I suppose once they get used to it, it probably is very therapeutic. I mean, animals, when you pat somebody or a dog and there is some sort of interaction between people and animals. So I guess that makes sense.
Yes. I think for me, the struggle is, and it's always been something that we've picked up in the therapeutic approach of equine-assisted psychotherapy, is that if you are on the horse and you are riding the horse, you have a very different dynamic to when you are on the ground next to a horse. It levels the playing field in a way, and it allows the horse to show and for the human person to give enough respect for each other. And that, for me, is where a basis of a therapy begins.
And how do you assess whether you can move from traditional psychology and talking to the person and using that type of psychology to a situation where you feel it beneficial to bring in an animal like this into the equation?
Well, as I said earlier, one of the things that kind of is a key factor is when people are part of that sort of more difficult population group where they struggle either to use their verbal ability, or they find that they really are not in touch with themselves emotionally. We found that this approach helps so much in terms of building that process of acceptance, a sense of trust, a sense of feeling that there's no judgment and that there's no condemnation. So although we use it for the more difficult populations, it really is open to all. And in this therapeutic facility, we've used it for groups of children who are at school in terms of life skills programs. We've used the horses in terms of psychiatric clients, and part of a psychiatric residential place, we worked with the horses where some folk found it greatly helpful to be able to not talk, but just to develop a relationship of trust, which was something that they've never been able to do before.
Is this something new, or has this been going on for some time? Is there a history to this? How did you come to work it out that this would be beneficial and how this would be useful?
Well, it's actually quite interesting because animals generally have been around humans, well, for years. And it started out probably in the early 1900s or early, where they discovered that animals were very helpful. So even Florence Nightingale spoke about animals being helpful in the recovery of her patients. So right from the start, yes. And things like dogs and cats, dolphins, even elephants have been incredibly helpful in terms of bringing about a sense of trust and a sense of love and acceptance in people. So it's actually been around a long time. But equine-assisted psychotherapy actually really only developed recently, sort of in the 1960s. And it actually developed from a disabled rider who won her Olympics and based her win on the value of her horse and its support and encouragement. And very quickly after that, many different types of horse therapies began. So there's something called hippotherapy, there's vaulting, there's riding for the disabled, and all of those types of therapy use the horse, but mainly for the horse's movement in terms of helping the disabled, and has been hugely effective. But it was in the sort of mid-1960s that they really realized that horses are as effective on the ground as they are when you ride them. And so that's how it really developed.
And when you engage in this sort of therapy with people, do they need to keep, I mean, is it a like a once a week thing they come there, or is it open to them to come whenever they're feeling like it? Is there some sort of a program that you follow, to a regime, or is it ongoing for life? Is it a short-term thing?
The issue with psych, it's a form of psychotherapy, and therefore it will follow a lot of the psychotherapeutic approaches. So generally speaking, it would be once a week. And it involves a sort of being outdoors, which is quite different to what the normal therapeutic approach would be. And that already changes the dynamics immediately, allowing much more of their world to feature in that, in their process. What we have found is that equine-assisted psychotherapy is actually very intense. So they do deal with a lot of issues quite quickly. So it's become one of those more short-term therapeutic approaches. And that actually makes it a lot more cost-effective.
Isn't it kind of habit-forming? I don't know if habit-forming is the right thing, but they kind of, wouldn't they become dependent on being with a horse and looking forward to it, and really they can't maybe deal with human beings in the same way?
Working a sense with of horses, yes. With a horse. I think most people really do so enjoy working with the horses that it's really hard for them to reach a point where they actually want to move forward. But because this is a form of therapy, the process is to always allow them to move forward. And the beauty about working with horses, and because it's what we call experiential and activity-based, it means that a lot of the issues are become a lot more visual. So people are then able to see where their issues are. And from that point of view, what it does is that it gives them an opportunity to practice these skills in the safe environment. But our aim is always to move them back into their own environment and to practice those skills. So if I can give you an example, if we build something for this person and the horse to kind of go over, like a jump or an obstacle, that becomes very much a symbol or a metaphor for their lives. And when they discover what resources they have that can get them over this jump, and when they realize what they can call this jump in their lives, be it an addiction or a relationship, what they find is that there's a natural shift from learning this experience to actually being able to go and practice that out in their world. So in fact, the reality is that most people, it remains quite short term. So as much as they love the horses, they often move quite quickly through this therapy and into their own space and into their own independence.
Do they have to be really, is this a kind of a trauma therapy, or is it something, because you seem to deal at both ends. So you've got adults, but you've also got children. And I would imagine that the children are much more traumatized or whatever it is than an adult would have to be in a different space to be able to do this. But I mean, kids are much more impressionable and able to deal with their emotions somehow openly, whereas I think adults probably bottle it up and need some sort of outlet. Am I on the right track?
Yes, absolutely, Stan. What we find quite interesting is how so many of these kids, because they are less inhibited, they're able to respond much more quickly to the horse and to the horse's body language and to the horse's movements. So we find that the children are able to learn, in essence, something quite quickly about who they are and what changes they can make to interact with their world, and that world would then be that horse. Adults struggle because adults have learned coping mechanisms such as, you know, being in control, or they use excessive language. So, you know, adults tend to have a whole lot of other coping mechanisms. And the value of the horse is that the horse doesn't really listen to words. The horse's innate ability is to be aware of the body language and the emotional state of a person. And so a horse cuts through all of those defenses and actually forces the person to become in touch with themselves.
I see. So this is the Hebrew Order of David. This is the HOD Hour. We're on every Thursday evening. We're talking about generally actually moving into this particular space, is that everybody's been in COVID and in lockdown, and I guess that, you know, there is a need for psychology, I suppose also extremely into psychiatry. We're talking to Dot Robertson, who's an equine psychologist, and she works with people and interacts them with horses, which of course is equine. And we're talking about how, you know, people, adults and children, interact with the horses, and it helps in their therapy. So Dot, what sort of kids would these be? Are they really, really that traumatized, or is it just sometimes that only takes a little bit of effort to bring them into the space, or can it be in extreme cases as well?
It's both, but usually the children that we see are children who are struggling with behavioral issues such as like attention deficit disorder. We work with autistic children. We've even worked with learning disabled children. So these are all areas that children find themselves, but we've also worked with teens who are behavioral problems, those who are struggling with attending school or finding that they are having relationship difficulties with families and parents. So we've been able to reach quite a wide variety of issues. There are children and teens who've come in terms of being able to, for example, struggle because they've struggled with an eating disorder, or they're struggling with anxiety. They've been able to really come in and find themselves and find what really their purpose is. And it's made a huge difference.
So psychology is not a quick fix. I mean, psychology, if these people have come to this point where they've really at the point where you're bringing in horses, or what, even if you're just bringing in traditional psychology, you know, they must have come a route. You're not going to cure this overnight. So are you saying that equine, you know, in the equine field of psychology, you're using that as part of it and you're moving on, but these people obviously would take time to reach some sort of normality? I don't know what normality means, but I don't know if anybody's normal today.
I don't know if we can use the word reality, is that for most for most people, the struggle is ongoing, but no therapy is designed to be a cure-all a therapy is really designed, and particularly working with horses, it's about getting people to discover their own innate ability, to discover that they have the skills within them that they can use to grow. And that's really the idea, is to keep tapping into and encouraging people to find that inner strength. Because when they've got that strength, they can deal with anything that they face in their lives.
So can you actually, when you're dealing in this sort of situation, can you actually see the progress? I mean, is it palpable? Is it something, or does it slowly come along, or is it something you're involved in? So obviously you're there during the session, so the kid is there, the horse is there, and you're there. Or is it more than one horse or just one horse?
Yes. So the process really is that I have a horse specialist who works with me, and as a team with the horses, we meet the person in the arena or the open area, and really the process then is about allowing the person to act out or live out an experience that they're struggling with. So if I could give you an example, is I had a case of someone who was working on their difficulty with their relationships with their parents. There were step-parents involved on both sides, and so this person was really struggling with the issue of step-parents, and no matter how he had spoken about it or discussed it, and he couldn't come to terms with how to work these step-parents. And in the process of working with the horse kept bumping the one specific area that he had created, and it actually helped this person to stop and realize that actually the problem wasn't the step-parents, as in plural. There was his relationship with his father that was the key issue. And that actually helped him to take a step back and think about where he wanted to go as he moved forward. So it became...
I was thinking that possibly it was the stepmother, because she might have been a bit of a nag. Sorry.
Okay, I didn't say that.
sorry, I interrupted your thoughts.
No, it's absolutely fine. That's where it becomes visual. It becomes visible and it becomes tangible. And so, therefore, this young fellow was able to actually go back and know what he needed to deal with, rather than getting stuck in all of this other confusion that he had been caught up in. So from that point of view, it's so much quicker, and it's so much easier, and it's so much clearer.
Do they engage with the horses besides being physical, but do they engage with them like in talking to them? And is it something which brings out that type of reaction from the kids?
Oh,
or
the
adults, for that matter?
Yes. It's amazing how we as human beings need language, and we often find that the children and the adults will talk to the horses. And what the beauty is that people realize that the horse doesn't respond to their words, they respond more to their emotional state. And that helps people to feel that huge sense of connection and understanding and lack of no judgment, just a sense of acceptance.
So when the horses have heard all these stories from people and dealt with all this trauma, how does the horse deal with it?
Well, one of the things that, and part of the organization in which I'm involved, we are really strict about giving the horses time off, and that they themselves have the opportunity to completely be themselves in a herd. So we definitely encourage them between sessions to have their own space. And
does it have an effect on them?
It does have an effect on them, and horses do, because they feel that emotion, it does have an effect on them. But what we have found is that horses have amazing ability to be what we call present-centered. So they move from each situation into the next situation with no sense of baggage. And so by allowing them that freedom to be with each other, they actually are able to literally let it go and move into the next situation.
And are horses the only animals that you could use in this kind of thing? Is a horse specifically built for this type of action, or are there other animals? I mean, obviously you're not going to go with elephants that easily, or dolphins, because you need to be in a coastal or in a special environment. But are there other dogs or rabbits, or is that a possibility?
Well, certainly we can use, in terms of equines, we can use donkeys. Some people have used llamas. It's amazing some of the animals that they have used. The interesting difference between horses or donkeys and dogs and cats is that, generally speaking, dogs are hugely accepting. They just give love. So it doesn't matter what the person's response is to them, whether they get shouted at, the dog will always just give love. And that love is a hugely valuable element of any form of therapy. But the difference with a horse is that a horse will offer you complete acceptance, but it does hold an accountability. So a horse forces the person to make sure that there's a level of mutual respect and that there's a mutual consideration. And that then means that the horse doesn't just accept what anybody does. It means that they make people start to become aware of what they are doing. And if they want a horse to respond to them, they need to learn to change their behavior in order to get a horse to respond.
And is that is this a special kind of horse?
No. No, all horses do that. It's part of their, it's part of who they are. They have, as part of a herd animal, they themselves hold each other accountable. They are very clear in their communication. They have a very clear pecking order. They have very clear friendship circles. So they're very clear with each other. So when we as humans come into their world, they accept us as if we are like one of their herd. And so they will treat us with the same respect and consideration. But they expect us to treat them with that too. And that is hugely important, because for many people, and children included, we haven't learned how to be reciprocal in respect. We often have learned to be more demanding and expect. And this is one very important element that we have to learn. And it's hugely invaluable for all humankind, is to learn that if we want something to work for us, we have to make sure our behavior creates that.
So a person comes to you, a child or an adult, or whoever it is, comes to you for treatment, and presumably they've been referred, or they find the need, or they find you as somebody who's going to do it. They don't know that it's going to be involved, that there's going to be equine psychology involved, or do they know up front and that's what they're going for, or have they been recommended? How do you identify that this person actually needs this?
So often what happens is that people are referred to me, and I will always meet with them first, from a traditional point of view, so that they understand the processes. And when we share the story and the process that they feel that would be the most helpful for them in moving forward, this is one of those opportunities that are offered to them. But it is their choice as to whether they would take it and use it, or whether they would prefer to stay in the traditional approach. It's just really interesting that more and more people are finding that it's actually far kinder to them, because it carries very little pressure to actually spend time outside with the horses. So although we do process information verbally, that the time that they spend with the horses becomes a very valuable time for them in terms of just building trust and building a sense of camaraderieship.
And how long is a session typically with a horse? I mean, is it a few minutes, an hour?
It depends, but most often a session would run, as a normal session would, anything up to an hour, because it is actually quite tiring being outside, and it is more physical. So we find that people actually aren't used to that, and so we don't want to push it too far, but definitely a normal therapeutic session.
Is that the 50-minute hour?
that 50 minutes hour.
So these sessions, I'm looking more at kids. I wouldn't imagine that to be applicable to parents to adults. In these sessions, who's in the session? It's you, the child, and the handler, and the animal. But you're not bringing parents or whoever's involved with that child are not being in the session. This is a session for them to be in on their own.
Yes. This is their session, this is their world, and this is something that they need to know that we will respect and protect for them. So it's a real place of safety for them. As in all traditional therapy, it becomes very confidential until at some point the child feels necessary to include or want to include parents or friends even. If the decision is that we need to work as a family, then we include the family unit into the sessions.
Right. Sometimes I would imagine that in certain cases it might be the other people in the session that might be causing the trauma.
Yes.
Maybe they also need some therapy.
Yes. And that is something that when we are going through the processing with the person, often the horses can symbolize or become a symbol of some of the struggles that, let's say, that child is going through. And the child, when the child has a chance to identify that, yes, there might be a moment where we would want to say to the child, entirely up to them, but when they are ready to, we can bring in those elements that have created the trauma for them.
Are these children at any time, do they become aggressive or violent towards the animal, or is it always, do they somehow do this peacefully? I'm just trying to picture the session.
When a child comes in that has been referred to us by a correctional facility or a place of safety, you know, there is that element that a child will have an aggressive streak in it. And what we have found really interesting is that very quickly the horses will assess who comes in and will naturally respond to the different personalities. So the different personalities of the horses will respond to the different personalities that come in. And we have found very quickly, because of the size of the animal, we will find very quickly that that aggressiveness actually dissipates very quickly.
I would imagine, yes, it's a little bit, they're not going to take on the horse.
No. And a horse is going to stand really firm and strong if it feels that there's any anger or aggression coming at it. It just stands very firm. And again, the child has to learn, or the teen or the adult has to learn, if I want my life to work, I have to make the changes in myself in order to get life to work. So we very quickly find that those who are aggressive actually really settle and become really considerate and will approach the horse differently, and amazing things can happen.
This is kind of almost the stuff of movies. I mean, it's hard for one to imagine if you're not used to it. I'd love to have been able to have witnessed the session of this to see exactly how it works, because I can see when we've taken kids and so on to the zoo or to places where there are other animals that kids do like to interact with, but I would imagine that the kids that we're taking along don't need the therapy, or maybe they do once they've been with grandpa, but when they go to the session, I can imagine that the kids take to it. My only thinking around this is that, don't they want more? Isn't it something that they really want to latch onto? I really want to go to my session this afternoon, Ma. They don't want to leave it alone. It's something they'd look forward to. Okay. If it's working.
Especially if it's working for them, and they are feeling that sense of real acceptance, and they're feeling that sense of safety. Yes, lots of children will ask to come in. But I have to say, like all therapy, working with horses is not always the easiest, because horses are not going to respond if they don't think you are being honest with how you are feeling. And so really? Horses can be.
I can be that sensitive?
Yes. A horse can see, I mean, there's been some research that horses can actually sense when a person gets out of the car what emotional state that person is in.
Really?
Yes. That's how sensitive a horse can be. And there's research that actually shows how horses can actually match their heart rate to humans. So horses are incredibly sensitive to humans. And that's just such a gift for us.
Does the horse tend to want to help in some way? Is it something which comes out of it?
A horse is just amazing in its willingness to be curious, willingness to play, willingness to bond, and their willingness to allow us as humans into their environment is a real gift.
I mean, I've seen movies in the old cowboy movies where the cowboy's in love with his horse and, now the horse is in love with the cowboy and, I never realized that there was such an affinity in terms of humans with the horse. I mean, I think you train the horse, you ride the horse, that's the end of it. But there was such a depth to the use of the animal in this kind of a environment.
There is. It's an incredible depth, which I think has taken us many years to really understand. And to really be able to actually tap into that as a support.
And why don't you, you don't let the person ride the horse? Is that something where the person will feel like they're dominating the horse in some way? Or is it not part of the therapy?
We have found that it's actually more effective, generally speaking, to work on with the horse on the ground because it changes the dynamic between being on the horse and you directing the horse, and the horse is following your direction, rather than you being alongside the horse where he can treat you like an equal.
And then in the session, they're grooming the horse in some way, or are they just talking to the horse, or is it walking around with the horse at sort of just having a quiet chat? I'm trying to picture the session.
So it works out where you arrive and you are able to then spend some time greeting the horses, and usually there's more than one, and you have an opportunity to move around in the paddock and greet the horses and find which one you really enjoying and relating to at that moment. And then at that point, there's usually some kind of activity that gets given to the person. Either it could be grooming or brushing. It could be using some equipment, building something for you and the horse to go through or to go over. It may be using a box of stuff that represents your life or your world, which you would then share with the horse. And so you would also then walk around with the horse, you would, but the focus is really on whatever the activity is the horse is part of.
And is it part of the feeding the horse?
And feeding comes into it, but feeding is not something that we would naturally do. Feeding is more something that if somebody's wanting to do that, that is indicative of maybe something that they're struggling with. And that gives us the process to talk about with them and help them to deal with it.
Okay. So, when you finished with the session, so they've been through the process, you've kind of got them on some path once you've been dealing with them, then you revert back to the normal and try to continue from them, or can this go on for some time?
No, this can, it's usually over a period of, it's quite short, so I would say between 8 and 12 sessions. Then what we do is that we go back and start to work on the processing, the verbal processing of that. But usually what I have found is that people have grown and moved significantly through their issues in those 8 to 12 sessions. So usually what happens is that we give folk a break and then catch up with them in maybe 2 months or 3 months' time to find out how they have grown, what have they held on to, what issues have then developed.
How do you measure the success of this? I mean, is this something which you can sum up as you go along, or is there some formula that you use that can give you an indication that you're on the right path? And in some instances, I suppose you say, well, this is not working, let's try something else.
There is a lot of pre-assessment type of information that we can get through questionnaires and through tests. And often, and in fact, we really are quite strict about making sure that we do a pre-test and we do a post-test so that we get an opportunity to measure the child or the adult sense of what growth or what value this has carried for them. And there is a lot of research happening worldwide on equine-assisted psychotherapy and its effectiveness, and in different, with different populations. So with children, with prisoners, with psychiatric cases. So there's a lot of research that goes on, and they use these kind of measures in order to measure that effectiveness. But I have to say that the biggest and most effective measure for me is watching a person who suddenly gets that sense that the penny has dropped, that sense of an aha moment where they have realized what they're needing to face. And that for me is often proof enough at how effective it's been. So a lot of the proof becomes a very personal shared experience.
So what is the attitude of the medical aid? Somebody listener wants to know.
Well, at this point in time, I think because equine-assisted psychotherapy is still relatively new, it's in the process now of being accepted by the Medical and Dental Council. So it's in that process. So when it's through that process, then we'll find the specifics in terms of medical aids and so on.
Do the medical aids cut it out, or did they consider it part of therapeutic session, or how does that work?
It becomes part of a therapeutic session.
Right. Doc, thanks very much for coming on the show. I just, now that we're coming to the end, the time has flown by. It's been fascinating. I'm trying to picture the whole scene in my mind. But in the last few minutes, could you just give us give yourself a punt, you know, where you are, how they contact you, your website, and just tell us a little bit about your background, how you came to this moment yourself, and how you moved into the space. So just be interested for the listeners to know.
Okay, thank you for this invitation again. I work at a place called Toad Hall Therapy Center, and right now the website's not up and running, but the best way to contact me is either through my cell phone, or which I'm not sure if I can give that. Is that all right?
Yeah, you can. That's up to you.
Yeah, okay. It's 083-626-3279, or you can contact me on my email. It's .robertsonsa@gmail.com. And I really started this out as a clinical psychologist, and found that I kept looking for things that would add and reach people that were difficult to reach, things, and particularly in my psychiatric work that I do, and in the work that I've done with some traumatized children. So this is really where the equine-assisted therapy became something really important for me. And I did further training with an organization called EGALA, which is it's an American association, but it's a worldwide association that has a very good, strong ethical component to it, which actually makes this much more safe and much more accessible for everybody to use. And so I worked with them, and I was part of their training team for a while, and now I really want to focus more on actually doing the therapy. So I'm on the ground, and I work now with all these kind of skills. I work with parenting, step parenting, life skills. I'm working with adults. We're working with PTSD and psychiatric recovery and dual diagnoses. So it's quite a wide group that I'm working with.
Right, we've been talking to Dot Robertson. She's an equine psychologist. If you want to get hold of her, you can contact her, Heber or David, on 011-640-3017, or you can email info@hodavid.org, and I'll gladly send you the details for Dot. Dot, I really want to thank you for this, for joining me and talking about this very amazing subject, actually, and how we and how you interacted with us, and how what you found, and I'm sure that the listeners have found it quite fascinating. So thank you, and I want to wish you good night. But just before we end the show, I just have want to just make an announcement. Dot, if you can feel free to listen, or you can depart and enjoy the rest of your evening. But from the Hebrew Order of David's point of view, we are busy with a project which we have for Yontav, which is our Rosh Hashanah, the end of the year, or the beginning of the new year. And we raise money, which we distribute food parcels to those in the community who need help. This year, we're extending it out to some of these, to the squatter areas, to areas where there are camps. Outside, we are looking for clothing. We're looking for food. That is part of what we do. The HRD Center is at 58 Oaklands Road Orchards, and between the hours of 10 and 2 every day, there's somebody there to collect it. You don't have to get out of your car. We will take the food stuffs. Please don't deliver live chickens or anything. Just send us tins and canned food and so on. And if you have clothes that you would like to give away, we'll make sure it goes to a place which is really in need. People, the people out there are really desperate. Everything helps. It doesn't matter what kind of clothing you have, what kind of items you want to donate. We'll gladly take it. We'll sort it out and we'll distribute it. You don't have to worry from there. We're also helping communities in the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and around Gauteng. So this is a national project from the Hebrew Order of David's point of view. And anything you can do to help would be great. Once again, Dot, thank you so much for coming on the show, and a fascinating topic, something I know very little about, but I can assure you I'm going to have a look at it, because I'm quite fascinated at what you're doing. And good night to everybody, and as we say, it's our pleasure, and wish everybody a good Shabbos and good night.